This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. For special occasions, festive seasons, and even just in general, it can be nice for the entire family to look like a cohesive unit and for everyone to have their best feet forward. But how do you accommodate comfortable, stylish, and bright clothes that suit the whole family without visiting multiple outlets? I have Jade Liao and Amira Low, co-founders of Umi Kids, a family-friendly clothing company, on the line to discuss that and more. Now, Jade and Amira, who we'll be referring to as Mimi throughout today's conversation, are only two out of three co-founders, including Zul Fathi Nordin as well. Now, from my understanding, you guys started this company in the second half of 2020, and this came out of a chat over coffee about sort of that passion that all three of you have for the creative industry. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? Mimi, let's start with you.
Hello, thank you so much for having us today. Yeah, that's right. We actually call up each other and meet up for coffee. And then through our conversation, we realized that our circles of friends, they're all expecting kids and they are starting new family, which sparks an idea, you know, let's create something where our circle of friends can wear. Yeah, so that's where Umi Kids was born.
So basically, you guys started with kids clothing specifically, sort of to address that burgeoning demographic of your close circle of friends. Is that about right?
Yes, correct.
Interesting. So I understand, although all of you had experience with the creative industry, had any of you had experience before in terms of designing fashion and in that industry before starting this endeavor?
Hello. So that would be me, because I'm currently the fashion designer for Umbi. But to be honest, I actually had a corporate background. So back then I was working in a law firm. But because of interest and passion, I took up a short designing course. So that's just about the design experience that I had. But throughout this journey with Umbi, we've learned a lot. So I guess it's really good to say that you're never fully prepared until you start doing it. So, yeah.
Fair enough. And had any of you had any entrepreneurial experience before starting Umbi Kids either?
Nope. This is our first venture.
Right. So tell me a little bit about that process, right? You know, what was that like for all three of you in deciding not only to venture into something together as friends, but also to learn about starting a new company from scratch?
To be honest, it wasn't easy because all of us, we call ourselves creative people, so arts-loving people. So when we first started, we focused a lot on creating beautiful products. So the colors, the ideas, the story behind the prints. But we didn't realize that a business is much more than that. So we didn't really focus on budgeting, how about investments and all that aspect. So the first year into it, we realized that, oh, this is much more than just creating beautiful products. But I would say the good thing is because we have friends around, good mentors. So they would give us advice. So they would sit us down and say, hey, you need to plan, have a good financial planning and things like that. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a learning journey.
Absolutely. I mean, let's talk about that, you know, going from initial conception of an idea to actually getting it off the ground. What kind of market research and development did you guys do for the development of these products?
To be honest, it's a lot based on feedbacks from our friends. Mm-hmm. So what are the clothings that they like to wear? What are the materials that they would prefer? So some of our friends would say they prefer non-polyester. So that's how we focus with cotton and linen. Because it's more, it's more comfortable and it's more sustainable.
We will definitely talk about sustainability later as well, which is a very, of course, one of the biggest sort of trending topics right now. But yeah, that's really interesting. So essentially, it's from, I guess, feedback from your peers. So then from there, right, you know, in the development of the clothing, you guys sat on cotton and linen. Tell me a little bit about where you sourced these materials from and basically that supply chain.
So basically, because it was COVID when we first started, it was really hard to go out to find materials. So we had to rely on agents, we have to tax suppliers. Now we have both materials from Malaysia and also overseas. So it's a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm. And also, how long did it take you to settle on the first, I guess, prototypes of the collections that you guys started off with?
It took us 6 months to design, to pick our colors, to get our chain supplier in line, and also to launch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have essentially, just to contextualize, Umbi Kids has, it started off with just kids' clothing. It's now developed into providing clothing for adults as well. But the idea behind it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that you have these collections of clothing that are suitable for the whole family. So they all are in the same materials, in the same colors, aesthetics, designs, you know, not quite like twinning exactly, but so that it's a, like a matching set of clothing, essentially for the whole family, right? So why did you guys decide to go in that direction?
So the concept is called Sedondon. We Malays, we really enjoy doing OOTD with our family, wearing all same print, same concept. And then, you know, we will be like, this is our color this year. And what's your family color this year? So this idea was created by, you know, the community. And we enjoy looking at the photos, the print that they chose, the concept that they chose for their riot team every year. So this is what inspired us to go for the Sedondon family wear.
Yep. So just to add on that, I think we really have to thank our customers, because they were the ones who came in last year when we only had kids wear. So the parents would come in and say, hey, why don't you do similar products for parents? Because they would really love to mix and match and have that whole Sedondon look. So we listen to our customers, and, you know, here we are.
Fantastic. All right. Now, obviously, as well, with starting any business, you do have to have that initial push funding-wise. Could you guys tell me about where that came from? You know, did you have an investor? Did you bootstrap? Tell me about that.
Oh, well, that's a really good question, because it's very, very hard. Like what Mimi said just now, we took 6 months to design the products. So within that 6 months, we had to live off our savings. So there was no income. And then there was loan from friends and relatives. For the first year, it's sufficient. But to move forward, to scale up, we definitely are looking at VCs or investors. So I would say we welcome investors. So to listeners out there, if you're interested in supporting a local brand, a local business, do find us. And yeah.
Right. So that initial funding was essentially bootstrapped. Would you mind me asking how much you guys used to just get that initial start to the company?
I'll just give a ballpark figure of about, it's about 100,000. Mm-hmm. So somewhere there.
Okay,
it's good enough to start, because we were thinking smaller at first, but realized that there's a lot of parts that actually need funding budget. So it's not just our own salary, which we did try to sacrifice a bit. But inventory aside, operations also costs. And then since we're online, there's a lot of subscription platform which all require money.
Yeah, basically a lot of the back end, you know, needed funding that you guys maybe were not as aware of when you first had the idea.
Yeah.
I see. Really interesting. And, you know, you mentioned that you are looking for investors and you mentioned VCs and stuff like that. I mean, what exactly are you looking for in an external investor at this time? And if you also don't mind me asking, roughly how much would you be pitching for?
Yep. So I have a story to share. So from BFM, a segment called Failing Forward, Audrey Raj. So back then, I was listening to one of her podcasts. There was this segment on startup and scale-ups. So a lot of startups, they have their own issues. But when companies successfully pass the startup phase, when they reach the scale-up level, a lot of them didn't pull through. So with us, we're definitely aiming something bigger, because what we went through last year, the results were great despite being in a pandemic. I would say we were close to breaking even. Mm-hmm. So to investors out there, hopefully we can get in the millions. The target is definitely to go into malls, to have physical stores, or to have a greater online presence. Mm-hmm. And more marketing, maybe collaborations with other brands. So we have this big hack. So like the big, hairy, audacious goal of being a public listed company one day.
Well, of course. I mean, that's obviously one of the more common, I guess, long-term goals for a lot of companies. So I definitely understand that as well. And, you know, I think really fascinating that you are just super shooting for the stars as well. And yeah, definitely shout out to Audrey Raj and Failing Forward as well. Really fascinating. And so you mentioned you were breaking even. Is that still the case, or have you guys turned a profit yet, or what's the situation there?
Close, very close to. We have tried to increase this year. So we're not there yet. We're not breaking even this year. So last year, well, I guess to explain it clearer, I think with our business model, it's more of every year it's similar. Mm-hmm. So whatever we earn, we would put back into the inventory to try to grow. Right. So at the moment, our aim is to grow the company. So breaking even would be, I would say, a plus point.
Mm-hmm. Would be nice, but you know, the company comes first.
Yep, agree.
All right. Very, very interesting. All right. Well, we are going to take a short break for some messages. But after that, I will continue speaking to Jay Liao and Amira Lo, or Mimi, who are two of the co-founders of Umbi Kids, a family-friendly clothing company here in Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Brand-friendly marketeers. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Listening to Open for Business, I'm Christine Wong, and I'm speaking today to Jay Liao and Amira Lo, two of the co-founders of Umbi Kids, a family-friendly clothing company. Before the break, we talked about why they decided to start this business in the midst of the pandemic, and also a little bit about their research and development process, as well as their funding start and goals for the future as well. Now, Umbi Kids is a primarily online company, so primarily using e-commerce. You do have a showroom space, which we'll get to a bit later, but the genesis of it is purely online. Now, I want to ask you guys a little bit about the challenges of running a clothing business online, the most obvious of which, there's no fitting room. There's no way to try on the clothes, feel how the clothes feel, especially for kids, you know, where there might be, you know, sensory issues or comfort, like you need to adjust because they're kids, to that sort of thing. So tell me a little bit about that and how you have circumnavigated those issues.
We started the brand during the pandemic, and you're right. When we started, we were truly just on e-commerce. So when we started, we realized that one of the thing that we should be worried about is the exchange for size. Because when you are buying things online, you can't touch them, you can't feel them. So everything is based on what is on the screen of your phone and your laptop. So what we do is we try to share as much as information we can on our website, so customer can see and read all the details. We also provide a good exchange program for the customer where they can exchange their clothes within 14 days to get whatever perfect size for their family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. And also, I mean, designing clothes for children as well, because, you know, they grow fast. As far as I'm aware, that's a big problem, right? For especially younger children. I mean, babies go from like tiny to less tiny very quickly. So tell me a little bit about that and how you guys have addressed that as well.
I realized when we grow up, our parents take a lot of our photos. So I realized that we want to grow in the clothes and create memory. So at Umbi, what we do is we create a loose, relaxed fit silhouette where kids can wear them longer. They can grow into the clothes. It wouldn't look so weird. It will still complement their figures. So that's what we're doing at Umbi, so they can wear it longer.
So besides that, we also allow parents to mix sizes. So we don't sell them in sets. So for example, some parents would buy a 4-year-old top with a 6-year-old bottom because the kid is the kid is 4 years old, but slightly taller. Mm-hmm. So with that, parents have control of the sizes and, well, clothes can sustain longer.
Absolutely. All right. So now, you know, going from that sort of challenge from your perspective to, I guess, a challenge for your consumers, which is the price point of the products. So just taking a quick look at your websites, from what I can tell, it seems to be basically on average within the sort of 90 ringgit to 100 ringgit range, roughly. It can sometimes, you know, go, you know, a bit below and above, but on average, it's around that range. And that's for one piece, as you mentioned, that's for one piece of clothing. So that would be for a blouse or a bottom of some kind. Tell me a little bit about that. What justifies that sort of pricing, especially in comparison to other, you know, obviously not just children clothing brands, but, you know, adult clothing brands as well?
At Umbi, we do not mass produce our products, and our prints are very exclusive just for Umbi kids. We designed the print ourselves in-house by the three founders. And cotton linen is not a cheap material. It's very costly. So it justifies why we put the price at such so. But it's not too expensive because we still want to cater to everybody. And we also sell, like what Jay mentioned before, top and bottom separately. So they have the control to just purchase the top or the bottom, whatever they need.
Yeah, so to add on that as well, we are also working hard on building the brand. So besides the product, the brand has a story. So we want customers to feel the brand, to enjoy, to like the brand. So branding itself has value, and we're working hard to build that up.
So because we are so strong in our prints, we are not just selling garment, we are also selling our art.
Mm-hmm. That is actually a fantastic segue into my next question, which is about those unique designs. You know, as you mentioned, all three of you come from a creative background and you work together on creating these unique designs for Umbi Kids. You know, is there any sort of protection on that, any licensing that you're looking into in order to, yes, protect those unique designs as well?
So the first thing we did when we started Umbi Kids is to apply for trademark. I noticed that a lot of brands in Malaysia think that it's not important, but to us, it is very important. And it also shows that you really value your brand. So fortunately, we have gotten our trademark and hopefully, we'll grow from there.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, Mimi, that you are also expanding into essentially prints, I guess, from what I understand?
Yes, correct. Whatever you see right now on our website, the prints is actually created by us. We drew by hand and then we turned it into digital. So we printed that through silk screen process onto our garment.
So to share more on that process, how we get those prints. So we would not just sit in the office. We would go out into the nature. Sometimes we would visit museums to get inspiration. And whenever we launch a print, we would share that story to our customers. For example, from our recent Matahari collection, we have a print called the Stonehenge print. So that is inspired by a historical venue. So we like our customers to know that there's a human touch behind these prints. Real people are drawing it or making it for our customers. And sometimes customers can walk in, they can share their story, they can share their favorite venue, favorite food. And, you know, who knows, we might turn that into prints.
Mm-hmm. I see. So sort of the USP of your clothes, it's not just the sedondong concept, but it's also that human quality, that sort of natural quality to it, and the story behind each collection as well. Each has its sort of own narrative, which is why it has, I guess, more of a branding value than, you know, like a top from a generic fashion outlet. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So you mentioned also earlier that these are not mass produced as well. So tell me a little bit about the production process. How exactly does that work then?
Okay. So we consider ourselves a really small fashion brand. So when we meant mass produced would be something like fast fashion brands out there in thousands, and they would launch every other week. So we're not like that. We're rather slow. But I would want us to grow. So there must be a balance between fashion and sustainability, and we are working hard to find that balance.
Mm-hmm. But at the moment, so like, are your items produced, I guess, in-house, or is there, you know, like, do you work with any sort of production team or anything like that?
Yeah, we do work with production teams. So, because so far in-house, we only have just a couple of people. We do have factories or local tailor shops. And then sometimes we could also outsource to different agents to pick up the orders. So things like that.
Okay, great. And also, you know, you also mentioned sustainability as a massive priority for you guys as well. And, you know, obviously stuff like, you know, you use cotton and linen, you have all this stuff. But I just want you guys to take me through, I guess, in general, your approach and your initiatives towards sustainability, not just in terms of environmental issues, although obviously that is important, but, you know, even like diversity and inclusion issues and stuff like that, you know, for you guys. How do you guys approach this?
I'm pretty sure everybody is practicing recycling in their office, right? And at home too.
They better be.
So what we're doing at Umbi at the moment, so we avoid using all plastic for our deliveries, for our packaging towards the customer. We avoid using plastic. So at the moment, we are using our reject material to produce new item. Therefore, it will not go to waste. That is why we are using cotton linen, because it's much more easy to recycle. Even our stickers are biodegradable, just to let you know.
I just want to add, so not just the recycling part. In terms of sustainability, I think this is more the human part, human sustainability. So we do practice communication. We want a non-toxic working environment. So that is very, very, very important to us. So a lot of traditional companies out there might have that hierarchy. So it's really strict. You have to listen to your superior. Sometimes bad cultures can happen, you know, a lot of anger, a lot of blaming. So from day one, we do not want that. So I would say even our interns have great time here. So yeah, sustainable environment, working environment.
Let me just add one more thing. At Umbi, the one thing that I am very happy that we are practicing is that we are all embracing each other's strengths. So if you are really good at something, we want you to push through and really, you know, climb to the top of the peak, rather than, you know, why force you into something that you're not sure of.
Absolutely. And, you know, now I just want to start to wrap up the conversation here with sort of the future and future developments. You moved from just being purely online to having a sort of showroom space. So let's start with that. How did that go about? When did that happen? And why did you decide to do that?
When we started online, we have a lot of demand for a physical store. They want to come and try the outfit. They want to touch. And they were very excited to meet the team behind Umbi. Thank you so much for our customer support. We are so happy. So we did have a 600 square feet warehouse. And we did open up a small space for customer to come and try. And then customers like, hey, you know, I think you should go bigger so we can shop, you know, in your showroom in the future. So here we are today. We have a 1,400 square feet and customers are very happy to come and try.
Great. So the showroom is also a storefront as well?
Yes, correct. We are located in Setia Alam, Shah Alam. So they can easily just waste us, Umbi kids.
Nice. And also, I mean, just to lead off of that, I understand we did mention this very briefly earlier, but I guess what are the plans for expansion here? You know, obviously in terms of, I guess, more brick and mortar outlets, more wider coverage as well for your products, maybe even staffing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely looking to hire more people. We really cherish talented, passionate people. Definitely planning for that. And hopefully our listeners out there, so calling you people, talented and passionate people, join us, email to us. So yeah.
At the moment, we are looking for an expansion, hopefully to go globally, and we are actually opening up in more malls. We are actually, more bricks and mortar, and hopefully we could really grow stronger, like our tech line, Grow With Ombi.
Fantastic. All right, well, thank you very much to Jay and Mimi for speaking to me all about Ombi Kids today. That's about it for today's chat. If you missed any of today's conversation, you can go ahead and download the podcast. You can do that on our app. That's available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also do that on our website as well. But I have been speaking to Jay, Liao, and Amira Low, co-founders of Ombi Kids, a family-friendly clothing company, today here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.